Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Grace and peace in Jesus, everyone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Man, it is a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath. Want to thank the Father for allowing us to make it to another one, bringing us one Sabbath closer to the big one, allowing us to participate in and giving us a mind to even want to be a part of this Sabbath day. That's the other thing, because He didn't have to give us a mind to participate in this Sabbath day because it's His. It's His, you know, and man, it's mercy in that and alone, right? Amen. So once again say Shabbat Shalom and welcome again everybody to the Sound of the Water of Job Israel. Come and see many Jews by the study class also of Commonwealth of Israel. And today here with me is Absalom. Shalom, Israelite.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Is it me? Am I getting feedback? Do you hear that? It's like a ching. It's like a little chingle or something, right? You hear it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I tell you what. Do me a favor. Hang up the call back, and I see if it's me. And if not, then I'm going to hang up and call back. Okay?
All right.
Amen. Well, no, I'm not getting it now. Okay, so hopefully we get that worked out when we can call back after that. Okay, hold up one second. Is that any better? Yo, Absalom, is that better?
Yeah.
That's much better. That's way, okay, I praise God. That is way better. All right. So, once again, want to get into this precept, man. But today, we're dealing with the creation still on the Sabbath, and we're still on the first day. You know, I know a lot of us, you know, like, hey, he's still on the first day. Well, yeah, it's a lot that he's doing. You think that anybody can cover the foundation of everything in 2 hours? I can cover the foundation of everything in a year. All I can do is just give an idea of where everything is at. I can't even I can't even to see everything on the first day because I wasn't there to conceive it. All I get is bits and pieces. You know, so as I go through this, man, as we go through this, I should say, we deal with bits and pieces. You know, and that's the idea. It's we can't get it all in one day, so we get bits and pieces. So we're still on the first day. We dealt with the judgment. I mean, you know, separating light from darkness and what darkness is, you know. And I think I jumped the gun when I posted this precept. I did, because we wasn't done with the dark side yet, you know, because we hadn't really went into what is dark, you know, and what God called darkness, you know, that he spoke darkness, that he separated from, you know. What we did was, what I did was, instead of looking at what I did last week, I was looking at the darkness and the light and the darkness being separated and being brought to judgment. But I really didn't give a reason, a good reason, why the darkness has to be judged, because we didn't explore that. So here's the thing. This is what we're going to do. All right? We're going to still stay with this here. We're going to still deal with the first day, the eighth day, and the great white throne being one and the same. And God willing, we live, we'll bring up next week the separation of the light and darkness at the great white throne judgment. How about that? Okay, and then we can go in on that, you know, because he separates the light and the darkness in the first day. And a lot of us, man, we just seem to think that, you know, the seventh day, and then we got the eighth, the seventh day, then it go right into the first day of the week, and that's the end of it, you know. But then when we talk about the circumcision, then we got an eight-day conversation. Well, you got an eight-day conversation with the great white throne in the first day of the week, because after the Sabbath day, if you're looking at the conversation between God and Adam, then the conversation is Adam works 6 days, he's off on the seventh day, and he's circumcised on the eighth day. Now, there isn't an eighth day in the week, but in Adam's time window, that eighth day fall on the first day of the week, which will be to us a Sunday. It's the first day of the week. But in the creation, the first day of the week, Sunday, will be here in Genesis chapter 1. So you see, they are one and the same. But we want to let the scripture dictate that. So, Let's get into this, Caleb. Man, if you got a scripture, let's open up and get started. I pray us in, and God willing, you can get some understanding through this. So, everyone that's listening, please, you can stand and face Jerusalem, start it at all possible. And my brothers, can if you can uncover your hands, and sisters, if you can cover your hands, if you're close to Father. Hello.
And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, and unto Bethphage, Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Excuse me. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without it. without in a place where two where two ways met. And they lose him. Let me read that. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they lose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye losing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in a way, and others cut down branches off the trees and sawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's Mark 11, 10.
Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on those that don't know you, God. Put the light in blessing us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children, and our children's children, and their children, and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see against you. In a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them, too, a mind to perceive and eyes to see against the ear. In a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and your forever. Amen.
Amen.
Man, so once again, we are dealing with the creation, man. We are dealing with right now the first day of the week. We are closing in on the second day of the week. We are closing in on the second day of the week. We've been in this first day of the week for several months, dealing with in the beginning. Starting out there, what was the beginning? Where was it? Well, who was there? You know, what is the beginning? You know, is there time there? Nope. Is there life there? Well, we know that's God there. Were the angels there? Nope. They weren't created till after heaven was created. So what is this beginning? Is it eternity? How can it be eternity when he put eternity in the beginning? People think eternity was just there. God stepped in. He created eternity. So where was he at before he created eternity? What was all of this at? You know, so in this beginning is a big time story. So when he give us, you know, when he come back, this is why we got to be, you know, when we think about the God of Israel in the first resurrection and all of things, he said, I'm going to give you all that knowledge. I'm going to show you everything I ever done in the creation. You're going to know the end to the beginning. Hands down, you're going to know it. And so he said, God, what is God? You know, in the beginning, God, what is that? Who is he? And what is a God? Well, we covered that. And then we found out that's a uniform word and found out that it's more than one, not 5, 10, 15, 20, but two right here that they send this thing called the Godhead, which is just another word for an eternal being in English. Some of us would say, Well, God backwards his dog. Well, unfortunately it is. But he'd allowed it to be in his book. Well, the word God came from a Babylonian source or this, that, and the other. I said, man, you can't get me with that one. Can't get me with that one because that word that's coming out your mouth right now that we call ourselves comprehending each other in, that's not English, man. English is a made-up word. There ain't no such thing as a species in Adam called English. Those Europeans over there, that's over there, they're in that building or in that city that's called England, they are Saxon. They are not English. The Roman church, it was the Roman church in France that came up with this thing, English, because the Saxons didn't have a literal government. So they didn't have a literal alphabet. They didn't. So the French gave them the Phoenician alphabet. Because, once again, let me reiterate this. When the Saxons didn't have a literal alphabet, the Vikings was tearing them up. So English is still relatively young in the world. It's actually just the 14th century, right around the time the first slave was brought from Africa in the 14th century. It's where English did in the creation. But it's not English that we speak. What we speak in is ancient Phoenician because we're using the Phoenician alphabet. You know, it's like I'm sitting up here and I'm using a Japanese alphabet and I'm saying I'm speaking Latin. Well, no, you're not, man. Because that didn't come from Latin. That didn't come from Asia. That came from China, whatever. Whatever it's from, man, that's what you're doing. It's like speaking the Arabic and then saying we're using the Arabic alphabet to speak English. We're going to take the Aramaic alphabet and say we speak in English. No, you're not. You're still speaking Aramaic with a Latin or a French or a Spanish accent because the Europeans got a hold of it. And that's what happened. So we speak in ancient Phoenician with a Latin spin. So it's no such thing as that. You know, as the word English. Go look it up. Go look it up. Do the research, right? And then he created heaven. What was that? So, like I said, just going back and looking at what the Lord allowed us to cover, we're here now, you know, when he separated the light from the dark. You know what? I think we may get this in. We might get it in, man. Okay, everyone, I want you to do this. I want you to take a piece of paper, right? I want you to parallel, right? That's turn it sideways and write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All right? I want you to go from 1 through 14 on that piece of paper. And then, once you've done, I want you to start at 6, because that would be us. Here come man. Here come Adam. No, I'm not saying the earth is 6,000 years old, because it's the, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, the earth is in the beginning back here somewhere. So, no, it's not 6,000 years old. That's a misinterpretation. The earth is billions of, God knows, billions of trillions of years old. Who knows? All we know is that this side of the creation, after he put a clock on it, we are now in another time window. You see, when he called a day 1,000 years, this is where we operate from. So that calendar that you're looking at is 14,000 years from what he said in the evening and the morning the first day. So now you're going to go from six, and you're going to number one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you ain't going that far. Forgive me. You're going to eight, right? In fact, take it to nine. The one with the sixth day is one to us. And then the seventh day would be the second day of man. So that's how you number it, right? So you make sure you put the one up on the six, the two up on the seven, the three up under eight. Nine, right? And so you count it like that. And so once you get to nine in man, that should be on the 14th day. And that only makes sense because the numeral system only go up to nine. I mean, yeah, well, we multiply, but the foundation of the numeral system goes up to nine. There's no such thing as a zero. What it do is you go from nine, then you go back to one, which starts you over, but they add a zero to it, and now it's 10. But zero means nothing, you know, in the beginning, because there's no such thing as that. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's it. And if you look at it, nine go into everything. Nine is the only number that can end, well, nine and four. Nine and four is the only number that can interact with everything. Why nine? Because nine is eternity, everlasting. And so he bring that, and everything is eternal at that point. There's nothing else left. That's the end of man. The end of man is on the eighth day, and then we go into everlasting. Whether we go into the lake of fire or whether we go into the kingdom, we are now in eternity or everlasting, which is nine. Nine means eternal. Eight is the circumcision. Their flesh must be circumcised to inherit eternity. So look, remember to do that, okay? And it's going to be a surprise on that 9 and 14. Well, it ain't now because that's what I told. When you go to 7, you know, when you're looking at 7, 12 and 7 is the Sabbath day. You see? So this is that thing. So 12 and 7 is the Sabbath. That's for man because that would be the seventh day of man. 8 and 13 is the second resurrection, that there is no more flesh, right? And then after that, here come the kingdom of God. On the ninth day or the 14th day in the creation, which is the Passover. See, if you make it through the eighth day, your sins been passed over, and you can take part in the Passover. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with here. But we still in the first day. We haven't even got look that eighth, that ninth day. As far as what we're dealing with in this precept, is way up the food chain and is way out there. We know where we're at right now. We're still here on the foundation, right? And that's what we're going to deal with. So right here, this is where we get the foundation. And so I'm asking everyone to do just that, if all possible. You know, count from 1 through 14 and then 6 through 9. And you will see that those conversations add up. Why? Because God don't leave nothing over. You know, some of us are saying that the Passover is coming in on the 13th day. That's contrary to the law. The Passover don't begin until the 14th day. The 13th day is the preparation. The 8th day, which so happened to be the 13th day of the creation, the 8th day itself is the circumcision. so that we can take part in the Passover, right? Amen. So let's get started. Asherah, can you do this for me, bro? Could you read Genesis chapter 1 and 1 through 5? Genesis 1 through 5. When you receive it, read.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Now, this is what we're looking at right now, the separation of the light and darkness, right? So, in the separation of the light and darkness, that will complete the first day, right? So this first day, once again, brothers and sisters, is the first day of the week, which will be tomorrow, right, which is Sunday. Just wrap your mind around that. The first day of the week is Sunday, tomorrow. Now, the eighth day is also the first day in Adam. They need each other right there. Why? Because the circumcision takes place today. Right? Amen? This is that thing. So, let's look at this a little further. This, what I want to do is he separated the light from the darkness, you know. And this isn't the sunlight, because the sunlight isn't created yet. So this is the spirit of light and darkness. So go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and 13. And when you receive it, read.
Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as far as light excels darkness.
See that? See that? There it is. He said, I see wisdom instead of folly. Folly is wickedness. You know, we because we watch television and children, you know, as children, we see this word folly. Even with the Little Rascals. They had a show with a Little Rascal, Al Green, did their concerts. They had this thing called the Our Gang Follies. But the word folly, you got your dictionary. You got your dictionary. If you do, yeah, read that word folly. Show what people mean what folly is. Because, see, we look at that word like naughty is, you know, it's bad, but it's a bad word. Like, you know, it's way up the food chain. Like, naughty is wicked. And so they, you know, and when you look at the media has taught us to call our children naughty. Oh, you're such a naughty little girl. You just call her a wicked little girl. You spoke that into creation. And remember now, as we was looking at the vibration of speech and that this word is Phoenician, words have power. That's why we got, that's why he got this thing, well, in our conversation, spelling bees. We are casting spells. So when you speak that into the creation or into a person, you're saying that to that person. And the last thing you want to say to your child is that you're naughty. And the last thing you want to be caught up in is folly. Do you have a definition?
Yes, sir. Folly definition is lack of good sense or normal prudence and foresight. Folly synonyms. Folly. Lack of good sense, understanding, or foresight. An act or instance of foolishness, the state of quality of being foolish, lack of understanding or sense, the fact of being stupid or a stupid action idea, etc.
Okay, that's a light term on that. Let me see if I can pull it up on my dictionary. Folly.
All right. I got a better one.
Okay, go ahead.
A fool layeth open his folly, a weak or absurd act, not highly criminal, an act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or with the ordinary rules of prudence. In this sense, it may be used.
Wait a minute. Read that again. Just a little slower and a little louder.
A weak or absurd not highly criminal, an act which is inconsistent with the dictates of reason or with the ordinary rules of prudence. And then in this sense, it may be used in the singular, but it's generally included.
Okay, well, let's just look at it like this. It said, I'm going to draw this. It says foolishness. Folly is foolishness, right? So if you perform a folly, you a fool, right? And then he says this, nonsense, madness, pity, absurd, indiscretion, reckless, lunacy, silliness, idiocy, irrational, imprudent, rashness, imbecile, faulty, preposterous, man, they really watered this down. This is why I love having my dictionaries, man, and my books in front of me, my old dictionaries. This is 21st century dictionary. I got a dictionary that was printed back in early 30s and stuff like that. It's from the 1800s. And this word folly is way worse than that. But this is watered down. Just like your King James Bible is now in a what we call a revised version right now. And it says, as I see wisdom excel folly, as light excelleth darkness, right? So wisdom is light and folly is darkness. So let's look at this word dark. Or darkness. I got this one, man. I'm on it already. Evil in nature. Evil. So he created a spirit in the world before there was anything, before there was an angel, before there was a man, before there was a beast in the field. He had already created this spirit called evil, right? And that's what Solomon had said, a false balance is an abomination before God. So not only did he create good, he created evil. And we can read that. In fact, go to Isaiah 45:7 and read that for us as I continue this. A state of ignorance. Sinister. Satanic. Wicked. Iniquitous. Evil. Wicked. Hidden. So this is what he called darkness in the beginning. That's why it was separated. That's why he called light good. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is light. He called that good and darkness. He separated the wisdom from the darkness, which is wickedness and folly and absurd and all that madness. He separated it from that. That's judgment on the first day. If he didn't have no judgment, it would have been no reason to separate it. But when he separated it, it became judgment. When he looked at it and said, he called light good, that's judgment. You know, we want to use this term, we sanctify, some of us is would dare to use the word set apart. But if you set apart, if we set apart, then what we're saying is that we've been separated as a judgment. Well, he just separated the light from the darkness. He just told you why. Spiritual. Do you have it? You got Isaiah 45:17?
Yeah. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He shall not be ashamed nor confounded without any. Is that,
no, what? I meant 7. Isaiah 45:7.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
That's what he did in the beginning. He created light, wisdom, and he created darkness, evil. You see that? I, the Lord, do all these things. So when he created both of these things, he was talking about this. He wasn't talking about the sun and the moon. He was talking about the spirit. So he was showing us that right here in Genesis chapter 1 and 3 and 4, he was telling us that he was giving everything the freedom of will. Free will. That means you would be able to make a decision for right and wrong. Right there. He gave us consciousness. He wrote consciousness right there. That solidified when we go and read that in John 1 and 1. When he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we like to leave it like that, but it's more than that because the Word is consciousness. So if he's given us consciousness, then he's given us sight. If he's given us sight, then he's given us a perception of judgment. Man, the colors look interesting. Or that sound interesting. Or that's pretty, and that's ugly. Judgment. All that took place in the first day when he separated light from darkness. He gave us free will. He wrote free will right there that the angels would decide good and evil. Then he created the beasts of the field that they would decide what's good and evil. And the beasts of the field do. The beasts of the field don't mess with man. And if you got an animal like a dog or something, if that dog turned on you, that dog is in darkness. It's performing evil. It know it. It know it. That's why it's a law that he said, if your ox is pushing, he said, you kill that ox because it's stubborn. It got a problem. He said, kill that ox. If you don't kill that ox and it kills somebody else, then you going to die for that ox because that ox is evil. So that ox, a cow, has the mindset to even know what's good and evil. All this here is in the first day when he separated that. When he separated that. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Psalms 119 and 105. Psalms 119:105. You receive the read.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
See that? He said the word is the light. The word in the beginning, this is what he was talking about here. The word is light. The commandments is light. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and thy light unto my path. Why? Because we're supposed to walk in the light and not in darkness. Go to Psalms 119:30.
119 and 130.
Psalms 119:130.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple.
You see that? So when the word come in, your mind is lit up. You know, when you start getting understanding, that's your light coming on, or your light are getting brighter and brighter. Your light is getting more and more illuminous. Entrance of thy word giveth light. That's what he said. In the beginning was the word. And what did it do? Brought light. It brought light. It brought wisdom. You see, it's that thing. So we are looking at this not like we supposed to. We too busy, you know, trying to be literal. And the word of God is first spiritual. It didn't become literal until the third day. It became literal. It became physical. That's when the earth was called out. And the earth was called out of water. Things started to become physical. But up until then, it's spiritual. Go to Matthew chapter 6:23. Matthew 6:23. In fact, pick it up at 22.
6:23?
Yes, sir. Matthew 6:22.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness?
See? That's the judgment, that he separated the light from the darkness. This is judgment that he did in the first day. This is coming. He said, if your body, he said, if the light is the light of the body is the eye, one, because you got to take it in, conception, right? If thy eye be single, then the whole body should be full of light. Good. That's good. But if thy eye be evil, then the whole body should be full of what?
Which is
not good. So he says this, but if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Or as we read in Isaiah, evil. How great is that evil? So, if we could do this quickly, I want you to look up the word evil, because he equated darkness with evil. So, remember that he separated the light from the darkness. So, he's telling us that darkness is going to be, he called the light good, and he separated it from the darkness. Then, in the next verse, he called the light day, and he called it night. It became physical. 6:20, what did I just say? Oh.
Morally bad or wrong, wicked, causing ruin, injury, or pain.
You got to speak up a little louder.
Morally bad or wrong, wicked, causing ruin, injury, or pain, harmful, characterized by or indicating future misfortune. Morally reprehensible, sinful, wicked.
See that? That's what evil means. Now, that's the definition of evil. I'm going to give you the fruits of the spirit of evil, which are the synonyms, right? It said morally bad, wrong, wicked, casting rule, injury or pain. Let me go to the source. It says morally objectable and wicked and morally iniquitous, evil doing, transgressions. So we know that if we perform an evil, we're going to be separated from what's good. Because he said he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. We know that. But here, he's showing us, he's giving us a choice to either live in the light or live in darkness. That's consciousness. Here in Genesis chapter 1 is where he gave us the idea and the notion, or he wrote into the creation, free will. We act like free will came with Jesus. No, free will came there in Genesis chapter 1 and 3. That's when free will was brought into the picture. And not just for us, it was brought for the angels too. That's why the angels are going to be judged. If there's no free will, there's no judgment, people. If there's no free will, there isn't any judgment. We all are robots marching in one order. We all doing what we're supposed to do without a thought of anything else. Free will. People will say, people act like God is taking your free will from you. No. In fact, that's wrong. That's ignorance. You see? When he created us, when he created the angels, he gave them the same spirit because they wasn't created yet. This is all spirit. You see? So, he created this thing called darkness that is in the creation. Now, let me continue this. It says evil doing, transgressions. The act of transgression, violation of law, or the duty or moral principle. Devilry, wicked, cruel behavior, foul. So darkness is cruel. Acting cruel. You can have a foul spirit or a cruel disposition. Irreverence. No reverence for God, right? Violation. Sexual immorality. So in Genesis chapter 1, he even had there that it would be a difference between sexual immorality among men. That's why there man can't have intercourse with beasts. Even though beasts have intercourse. But that would be immorality, sexual immorality. Man cannot have intercourse with another man. That's sexual immorality. That's darkness. Same sex is darkness, period. The evil ascribed to sexual acts to violate social convention, sexual immorality, you see, evil, that which caused harm or destruction and misfortune. But then he said, I created peace and I created evil. That's why he could destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why he could destroy the Canaanites. That's why he could destroy the kingdom of God. That's why he destroyed Israel. Because he created it. And he warned us about it. He wasn't talking to us like we were children. He said, look, I created peace and evil. Get your act together. Don't make me bring this evil. Bad. Malevolency. Malice. Don't take the Passover with what? Malice. Right? Malignity, baneful, immoral, worse, nefarious, vileness, ugliness, wickedness, reprehensibility, villainous, perverseness. See, there it is again. Sexual perversion. That could be spiritual or physical. You know, two men and or two women is immoral. It's perversion. having intercourse with a married woman is perversion. It is darkness. You see, this is that thing, wrongdoing, error, right? So let's go back to the scripts.
You want to Matthew 7?
No, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 5 and 20. Isaiah 5 and 20.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
So, throughout the scriptures, he's been giving us the definition of what good and evil is, but we tend to forget that we read it in Genesis chapter 1, and that's the problem. What happened is that, I'm going to tell you why we forget it, because if you never read your Bible, then you don't equate this with that, because you never read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you read your Bible only once, then you don't see that. And you're not reminded that it's there, and that's what he called darkness evil in Genesis chapter 1. Woe to them that call evil good, and he said the light, he said, now get this, he called the light good, right? He called the light good. So he's telling us, man, that it was going to be that. Men was going to do these things. And put darkness for light. He's not talking about like shade or whatever. He's talking about wickedness for what's good. And then turn around and judge the light as for darkness. Like, I ain't dealing with that old law. I ain't got to keep this law. You know, this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you something else, man. You know, I'm going to tell you what's light and darkness. I'm going to tell you we do it all the time. We do it all the time, and I'm going to tell you something. We better stop. We better stop because the kingdom of God is going to be built on that. I don't know how people get away with it now. I can't see it in this Western mindset. Maybe somewhere else in this world these things are going on, but in the United States, in this Western mindset, this slave mindset, I'm going to show you what's light and dark, and y'all going to get angry with me when I show you that. The Lord had allow Moses to have two wives. He allowed Solomon to have three. No, David had 300, and Solomon had 700. But in this world, no, Abraham had two. All right? Abraham had two. Moses had two. David had 300. And Solomon had 700. And then we turn around and say, well, that ain't because we in this country, and they put in light for darkness, like that's evil. Then here comes Jesus saying, in a parable, there was five wise women that had candles, and five foolish women that had candles, and the foolish women all went out, and they went to the wise women and said, "Give us some of your oil." They said, "We don't have enough for you. Sorry." And when the Lord came, he didn't take one; he took five. So is the Lord going to use a perverse parable? No, he's not going to use a perverse parable in himself. So this is that thing. Stop saying that. Look, I'm telling you like this. I don't know how people get away with it because in this world, it's just way over the food chain. Nowadays, you know, guys, this menage a trois thing is like kind of commonplace now, you and your friend and stuff like that. But it wasn't that. That's a whole other conversation. In fact, I don't even talk about what the man with his bed. But this here isn't evil. It's just not accepted in this culture. So stop saying it's sin. Because when you say it's sin, then you fall into Isaiah chapter 20, and you call Abraham a sinner. You call Moses a sinner. You call him David a sinner. You call him Solomon a sinner. And then you turn around and you're going to call God a sinner because he said he had five wise ones. And they kept their oil and he married all five. So stop saying that. If you don't agree with it, you know, just be cool. Keep your peace. Right? Right. Go to Isaiah 8 and 20. When you receive it, read. Isaiah 8 and 20. You got it?
Isaiah 5.
Isaiah 8 and 20.
To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
See that?
Pass.
Stop. So it says, to the law and the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You see that? And he's not talking about the sons. He's talking about the spirit, the law, and the testimony. If you don't have the law and the testimony, ain't no light in you. That's why he told you. That's why we read, he said, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. That's Proverbs chapter 6 and 22. You walking in the light. Your word is a lamp to my feet. But if you ain't keeping the law and the testimony, you got a problem with the things in the law, then you in darkness, and you choosing darkness over light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at this a little further. This thing, man, that we've been looking at, man, that dark, this is a whole nother conversation, bro. This is a brand new conversation because I don't think we really looked at what this darkness is. You know, that he's separated from. Go to St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. Because he constantly tried to remind us that this is a part of the work. But we pick and choose what we want out the Bible. We don't have that authority to pick and choose what we want. We're either going to eat the whole book or nothing. We don't have the authority to pick and choose. That's the Old Testament. We ain't in them times no more. We start sounding like people that don't believe in God. You know, that's madness, man. You know, I can still say the same thing even to this day. If a man lost his car, lost his keys, and you find him, he said, give it back to him. Don't keep it. You know, you see a man's wallet, his address on it, got all his money in it. You see his address. You see he got the same address on everything. Take him the wallet. The law said, now the money is on the ground, there's no wallet, that's a whole nother conversation. There's a bag of money on the ground, that's a whole nother conversation. A armored car drop a sack of money on the ground, that's another conversation. If it ain't got no name on it. But if it do, you got to take it back because you know where it's from. And the law said, take it back. St. John 1 and 1. St. John 1 and 1, when you receive it, read. St. John,
my bad.
Yeah. St. John chapter 1 and verse 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and him was made light. The light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
stop.
It was.
So we see here the word is the light, and the word is the light of man. Consciousness, the word is the light of man. And he said, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. Some of us is not going to comprehend it. Some of us is never going to see the light because we're too covered in darkness. Or we dwell in darkness, or we participate in too much darkness. We'll never see the light. You see, this is that thing. I need you to skip down to verse 8. Verse 9. St. John 1 and 9. We receive a reading.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
That's the true light that light every man that coming into the world. Because every man coming into the world with consciousness. You know, a child, it comes into the world and recognizes it's in a different place. It's trying to comprehend, where is it? I just been in darkness for 9 months. What is all of this around me? A child, all they doing is blinking like, you know, like, whoa, what is this up in here? Because now they're in the world, now they're in the light. They're trying to comprehend their situation these days. Go to St. John chapter 3 and pick it up at verse 18. Caleb. You got it?
Mm. Okay.
What's going on, man? You all right?
Not really. I was up for a whole day today. Not get that much sleep. Going off of like 4 hours of sleep.
I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning, and I crashed back out again.
Man.
Can you get through this? Because if not, man, I can finish it.
I mean, I got you, Dad. I got you.
All right. Okay. All right. St. John chapter 3 and 19. Let's do it.
This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
See that? That's the judgment that he said in Genesis chapter 1. He said that their deeds might be reproved. He separated the light from the darkness, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. So in the beginning, God called darkness evil. And we see it here, it's a conscious evil. Continue.
So yeah. All right. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there
okay,
he
that,
carried.
That's cool. He said, this is the combination that light is coming to the world. Man loves darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Every man that doeth evil hate light. Hate Jesus. He's the light. He's the consciousness of everything. They hate God. That's why he said, I mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. Why? Because they're walking in the light. And I would take vengeance on them that hate me.
because they're performing evil. And they're walking in darkness. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. But this foundation here was laid in Genesis chapter 1 and 3. 1 and 3, that's where it was at. Go to Psalms 50 and verse, Psalms 50, and let's pick it up in verse 16. And he's going to tell us what this darkness is and his wickedness is. You see? He's going to give us the definition. Go to Psalms 50, verse 16, when you receive it, read.
But unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, but that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy youth, in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou contest with him, and hast been partaker with the adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speak.
He said, first of all, these are wicked people. Listen, he said, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? There it is. So there's going to be men and women that's going to say they know God, and they wicked. He said, and they're going to act like they know God. They're going to be always talking about God. They're going to always be glorifying God. And he said, see, you hate instruction, but they got a forward spirit. They hate to be told what's right or wrong. Hate instruction. That's what the forward spirit is. And cast my words behind it. That's why he said, I will not suffer a forward to person in the congregation. He will not suffer a forward person in the house of God, period. He said, now then he started giving us his own synonyms. We hung out with thieves, and we've been partakers with adulterers. We even gave our mouth to evil and our tongue framed deceit. Forward. There we go again with that forward spirit. Uncontrollable. Sit down. Read verse 20.
Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I reproved thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation, aright will I shew the salvation of God.
See that? He said, and I consider this, you that forget God, this is the forward, these I tear you in pieces. You know, so we got to be conscious of that, man. And that thing, man, is a serious conversation before God. You know, go to Romans chapter 2 and 21. Romans 2 and 21.
Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that teachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, doest thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, doest thou commit sacrilege?
That's the wicked. No. See that? That Psalms 50. There they are. Oh, to the wicked, what thou hast to say to declare my statutes. Continue.
Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name
see
of
that?
God is but
he said, thou that makest a boast of the law. Remember now, they teach you this. Through breaking the law, dishonest thou God. What was that? See that? That's the forward. It is what it is. is nothing. That's that judgment that he's going to set in the earth. And we aren't paying attention to what he is doing in the creation because we're too busy I apologize so much, man. I need you to pick it up at 18. Pick it up at 18.
All right. And knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And art confident, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, and an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge, and of the truth in the law.
Stop. That's that thing. See, he said, art thou confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, right? Because the blind is in darkness, right? A light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, right? Like we just got through looking at folly, right? Teachers of babes, because babes are in darkness. Remember that. They don't know. You got to teach a babe how to even eat, because a babe will overeat and choke itself. You know, and then we got to be careful with that because a babe will eat anything. It'll eat off the floor. A babe will eat from anybody's hand that he thinks has something good for him. That's what a babe would do. So, you know, this is why I look around and I see a lot of people here and there. I see people just listening and doing the most up under every ministry. They just listening to everybody everywhere. That's a babe. A babe will eat anything. But a man is selective in what he eats. He don't just listen to anybody just because they sound good. He listens because it is good. You see, this is that thing. Go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 4 and 5. First Corinthians 4 and 5. When you receive it, read.
For judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Stop. So he said, therefore judge nothing before the time. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light the hidden things of darkness. See that? So that's judgment. It's coming. Do not judge before the time. Why? That time is the first day of the week. All right? So now let's look at that. Now we know what he's going to separate. He's going to separate righteousness from wickedness. We see that. Because right there in Genesis chapter 1, 3, and 4, and 5, that's spiritual, right? Ain't no physical light there. That's all spiritual. So those are acts. Those are things that are being performed, right? But we're still dealing with a day. Amen? So the first thing we want to do is go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 2 Peter 3 and 8. When you receive it, read.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is
there
not slack.
So when we looked at that Genesis chapter 1, that was a thousand years. I'm not saying that that's the beginning of time. That's the beginning of time for us, or beings in this planet, right? But what he's telling us, a day to him is a thousand years. So he put time on days. Why? Because now we got to deal with feast days. The feast days are going to go from a 24-hour increment to 1,000 years. So if God willing we live and we make it to the kingdom, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is going to be for 1,000 years. The Passover is going to be celebrated for 1,000 years. Can you wrap your mind? Can we wrap our mind around that? Right? The Passover is going to be celebrated 1,000 years. Not 24 hours, 1,000 years. You know. And then we're going to have, you know, if you come up in the first resurrection, you're going to be sitting on thrones and receive thrones, right? But then the people that come up in the second resurrection, God willing we live, they're going to experience the Passover for 8,000 years too. Wrap your mind around that. Passover for 1,000 years, the Sabbath day for 1,000 years, Feast of Unleavened Bread for 1,000 years, the wave offering for 1,000 years. The last night of the week, unleavened bread for 1,000 years. Wave offering, Pentecost for 1,000 years. Right? Then he said the Jubilee is going to be for 1,000 years. Then he said the trumpet is going to be for 1,000 years. The atonement, that's going to be a doozy, 1,000 years. Right? Tabernacle is going to be 4,000 years, and the A-gathering is going to be 4,000 years. Wrap your head around that. A day with God, 1,000 years, right? Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. And pick it up in verse 9. 10. Pick it up at 10.
This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or brought with money, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is brought with the bought with the money must need to be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Stop. So, reason why he said everybody in your house. Because chances are, because the Passover is a feast day, and everybody going to be eating and drinking and doing what we do on the Passover, right? Well, some of us don't know that you're supposed to be really, you know, it's a feast day. Some of us just think you're supposed to eat some dry crackers and some whatever that is. We follow the Roman church on that madness. But no, he said it's a feast day. It's a Asa kept it like no other king in the history of Israel. He kept the Passover like none other. And you don't hear nothing about the 15th day. It was the Passover that was the big, you know, he did it. It was another king, if I'm not mistaken, Jeroboam, one of them two dudes. I may even have a name. But he kept the Passover. He didn't do it as big as the Sabbath, but he did it big. And nothing was mentioned about the 15th day. It was the Passover, right? So this here is huge to us. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. He that is born in your house must need to be circumcised. Why? Because if you follow God, you're going to keep the feast. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 40. Exodus 12 and verse 41, if I'm not mistaken, 41. Exodus 12 and 43. Exodus 12 and 43. When you receive it, read. Exodus 12 and 43. When you receive it, read.
And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But
stop.
Every man serve.
No stranger that don't know God ain't going to take part in it. Judgment. See that? Judgment. Read on.
But every man's servant that is brought for money when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof.
That's what he told Abraham. See, because he is a part of your house. And when your house keep the Passover, he's keeping the Passover. That's why he gave us the law in Exodus chapter 20 when he said your maid servant and your man servant ain't supposed to work on the Sabbath day because they keeping it with you. Well, if they keeping the Sabbath day with you, they're going to keep the Passover with you. That's why they need to be circumcised. Everybody that's born in your house, that's bought with money, so forth, the order that he gave Abraham, that's how it's supposed to be. Because we're not supposed to invite people to the Passover at all. We're not supposed to invite anybody to the Passover that don't know God or that's a stranger to these things that we do. We're not supposed to do that because the Passover kill them. He said we can't take it with malice or wickedness or anything like that. And some of us that don't know God, that's all we ever do. Right?
Foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof.
So you got this guy working for you. You get ready for the Passover. You got this big A lamb out there roasted and whatnot. I ain't saying you got to roast a lamb. You cooking all this food. They working on your yard. They working on your house. They good people. They laugh. Y'all really getting along. What you fixing? Passover. In your heart of hearts, you really want to come and take part with you, but you can't because they don't know God. They're strangers. They aren't supposed to eat that. You got to have knowledge to eat the Passover. You got to know what you're doing. Read on.
In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall
So when we keep the Passover feast, we keep the Passover feast, me and Absalom, our families, we keep the Passover as a feast day. No, we're not sacrificing a lamb, although our official spaghetti with lamb in it versus hamburger, you know, put a spin on it. You know, I might even fish a lamb roast to go with. But I'm not saying that's the sacrifice because the sacrifice is already given. You know what I mean? So people said, you ain't supposed to even have a lamb on the Passover. So all we supposed to eat is dry-ass cracker with just a sip of wine. That's not a feast. And I'm gonna throw this brick at this glass house right quick. People sit up there and say that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the first day of unleavened bread, right? We witnesses unto ourselves. Absalom, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
When the last time you ate a matzo cracker?
Last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Case in point, do you have any intentions on eating a matzo cracker between now and the Passover?
Huh?
Do you have any intentions of eating a matzo cracker? Like, you going to the store to buy matzo crackers to eat tomorrow. Are you doing that?
No, I don't know. Nobody's doing that.
No, nobody's doing that. But wait. When the Passover come around, what is everybody doing?
in matzo, crackers, and wine.
There you go. See that? And the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we eat what? Matzo crackers, which is on the Passover. So that's the first day you eat unleavened bread because you ain't eating nothing unleavened until the Passover. So we witnesses on our, to ourselves. Come on, people. The last time you're going to eat the matzo, man, I'm telling you, you're doing everything. Can you put peanut butter and jelly on it? You know, you're trying to put some bologna or something on there, whatever. You're trying to do something with it, make a pizza out of it. I think Paul made a matzo pizza. I was like, that looked like that could be good, and that looked like that could be so wrong at the same time. You know what I mean? But this is us. This is what we do. We ain't even looking at ourselves. That we're a witness on ourselves that we don't even touch a matzo until the Passover. So for the whole year, we don't deal with unleavened until the Passover. That's the first day of unleavened bread. There you go. Now you're a witness to yourself. Okay, read on.
And will understand yourself, sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near, and keep it. And it shall be as the one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be
one
that is.
You got to be circumcised to eat the Passover, right? But remember that everybody that's born in a house must be circumcised on the eighth day. Right? They got to be circumcised on the eighth day. But the Passover is on the 14th day. Now, listen. We ain't looking at him telling us. He just bringing all this. Look at here. Come on, people. Really? One law to him that is born, homeborn, and to the stranger that sojourneth among you. Go back to Genesis chapter 17. No, man, I ain't going to the store looking for no mottos.
Genesis 17 and 10 or 14.
What, is that where we left off at?
We left on 13, so I'm going to reread it.
Yeah, reread it.
He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is now circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. God said unto Abraham, as far as Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and then she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of the people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God,
Stop. How old is Sarah?
90.
90. There go 9. You see it? She's 9. He just sealed time with Sarah because you can't take part of the Passover until the 9th day in the creation, which don't happen to be the 14th day in the creation, but the 9th day of man. That's the Passover, and he just sealed it with Sarah. 90. Or, continue.
And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And
whoa.
For Ishmael.
Whoa, you know what just hit me, man, is that the Lord gave Isaac a name of a Chesedek. That was from heaven. His name is from heaven. That's a Chesedek name. That name didn't run in this creation. That's the first time we ever heard that word in the creation ever. Isaac was spoken to this creation. That's from heaven. I just thought I'd put that out there. Read on.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. For my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off, taking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham
was 19
years old.
That's what we read in Exodus chapter 12 and 43. Circumcise all your males, right? So Abraham did it. And look, read on, 24.
And Abraham was 99 years old.
How old was Abraham?
90 years old and 9.
So what is that?
100.
No. How you get 100 out of 99?
I mean, basically.
How you get it? No, he said, no, this time next year, a child is going to be born to you. And Abraham did the mouth. I'm going to be 100. But when he was talking to him, he was what?
99.
There it is. And how old was Sarah?
99.
There it is. You see that? So he's stealing everything right here in the creation, right here. Right here. What's 9 plus 9?
18.
1 plus 8?
9.
Can't get around it. Can't get around it. You cannot get around this here. That's why he said, my covenant is we're going to be with you. Now, look how old Ishmael was when he was circumcised. Read that 24 again and continue.
And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house born in the house, and all the men of his house born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him.
Okay, so now Ishmael was what? 13, right? Okay. What's 1 plus, what's 13 is what? 4, right? But I want to get into that part. That's a whole other conversation. So we still dealing with the calendar in front of you. So the circumcision is in the 8th day. Now, if you got that piece of paper, you should see this right now. This is 24, 25 should be jumping off the page. Why? Because Ishmael was 13. The 13th day in the creation is the 8th. Day in the creation. You see that? It's the 8th day of Adam, but the 13th day from when he said, let there be light. Right? So what did God just tell Abraham? He said, no, man, my covenant is going to be with Isaac, but Ishmael is going to get in the kingdom. I got him. I wrote him in prayer that everybody's going to be circumcised on the 13th day of the creation, just like your son Isaac. Everybody's going to be circumcised on the 8th day in the creation. Now, go to Revelation chapter 20 and pick it up in verse 3. Revelation 20 and 3. In fact, pick it up in one. Pick it up in one. We might as well go on in. We still got about 20 minutes. This ain't going to even take 20 minutes, but, you know, might hit a point or two. Revelations 20 and 1, when you receive it, read. You got it?
And I saw an angel. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he said, hold on the dragon, he laid on the hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast
stop,
him into
stop,
the-
stop, stop. We all know this is the Sabbath day. We all know that this is the Sabbath. Everybody that keeps the Sabbath day know this is the Sabbath, that Satan will not be around to pollute the Sabbath. We all know this. I'm going to say most of us that understand the Sabbath day understand that because a day with God is 1,000 years, and from Adam to this point, it's 7,000 years. Which so happen to be, if you got that piece of paper, you're going to see the 12th day of the creation, which is sealed by the 12 tribes of Israel, that he set the boundaries of man according to. Continue.
Three.
Yes, sir. Continue.
And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones that they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed
stop.
And holy is he.
So, stop. So now he said, but the rest of the dead, the first resurrection, they came up and they're going to be with Jesus, right? They're going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's Isaac right here, right? Then he said, but the rest of the dead live not again until the rest of the dead should live out again to the 1,000 years of finish. This is the first resurrection. So here comes the second resurrection, which is after this, which is the seventh day. You go right into the eighth day of man, which just so happened to be the first day of the week. Continue.
So continue.
Yes, sir. Verse 5.
All right. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God of Christ, and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison.
Stop. So now we officially step into the eighth day of man. Man is still on the planet. This is the eighth day now, right? Continue.
When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from earth, from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
This is the end of the eighth day right here. Look, everybody woke up. Right here ain't nothing but spirit. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was no place for them. So man is not going to see. I don't know where this at. Maybe we back to the beginning again. Maybe we back to that one. Like he said, there was no earth, there was no heaven, there was nothing. God took us way back all over again to the first day and judged us on the first day when there was nothing there. And then he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Circumcision, ain't no more flesh and blood there. Ain't no more flesh and blood there. And he said, now watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians, because we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one verse, and 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. And when you receive it, read.
Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do a corruption inherit incorruption.
You see that? Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've been what? Circumcised when? On the eighth day. Watch this. Go to Leviticus 15. Leviticus 15. And let me see, I want to pick it up. Where she? 15 and 19. 15 and 19. When you receive it, read.
And if a woman have an issue.
No, go ahead.
And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever touches her shall be, unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he touches it, she shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever touches those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. If she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself
7 days, and after that she shall be clean.
After what? Okay, and then what?
And on the eighth
next
day,
verse?
She shall take. And on the and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her before the Lord for the issue
stop.
Of her.
Stop. On the eighth day, she's clean. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why on the eighth day, there was a great white throne judgment. The flesh had to be circumcised on the eighth day. The woman had to be purified on the eighth day. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's go in Revelation chapter 20 and 1. Revelation 21 and 1.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall no more be death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon
no more. See, death brings, flesh brings pain, the flesh brings sorrow, flesh brings tears. It won't be no more of that. Here comes the Father on the 14th day of the creation. After the great white throne judgment, according to the law, everybody was circumcised. According to the law, in Exodus chapter 12, now you can take part in the Passover. Here come New Jerusalem. Here come New Jerusalem. The Father, God is here. Here come the Father. Now he's with us, right? Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and 17.
Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said,
Stop. The first day of unleavened bread is the Passover. If you got a problem with that, your concerns isn't mine. That's between you and God. I just know what I read here, and I'm not foolish enough to say this is misinterpretation because I don't have understanding. I'm not going to do that. I'm not that big in the world before God to say that this is a misprint. Not from what I read, and not from prophecy, what we just got through reading. Now, the first day of unleavened bread, and not that we just proved that we're witness to ourselves, because we ain't eat no matzos until the first day of unleavened bread, which is the Passover. People, wake up. Now, the first day of unleavened bread came. Now, the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where are we going to keep the 15th day?" Is that what that said? No. It said the Passover, right? Well, we know the Passover is the 14th day in Leviticus, right? And we just got to read it in the creation of all things. But look what he said here. Skip down to 26. And when you receive it, read. No. Yeah, 26, and read.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke
stop,
it.
Stop. They were eating already. Why you got to take bread? I told you it was a feast. See, we ain't listening. Let's just think, you know, he just narrowed it down to bread. And no, it's still a feast day. It's just with unleavened bread. That's all. Read on.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body."
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
That's the one we saw, 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, when New Jerusalem come down from God after he's done away with everything in blood, which is circumcised on the eighth day, when a woman is purified on the eighth day. Now, here come the Passover. If you're looking at that piece of paper now, all of this is making sense because it's jail. That's why Ishmael was circumcised on the 13th day. He represents the children of the flesh. This is why Isaac was circumcised on the eighth day, because he represents the children of the promise, that everybody is going to be circumcised in the flesh on the eighth day. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and let's read to the 5, and we're going to wrap it up.
Genesis
chapter 1, and read down to the 5, and we're going to wrap it up.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day.
There it is. So he called it here from the beginning, right here, brothers and sisters. This is it, man. Like I said, the eighth day and the first day is one and the same. Why? Because the eighth day followed the seventh day in Adam, and it's the first day of the week in the creation. So they one and the same. Amen. So you got any questions, Absalom, before we wrap it up?
Nah. Great lesson. Great precept. As always, praise God for another day of life, another week of life, another Sabbath. Getting this wisdom and knowledge and understanding from reading. Yeah.
Drew, I got to tell you, thank you for putting in the work. You know, I know you probably was beat up and tired. You know, and like I said, man, I was tired, you know, this morning. But I got up about 4 and up, took a shower, and then kicked some bowls, you know, and then I went to that, crashed out, you know. Crashed back out, 7 o'clock, 4, 9 o'clock, you know. So this is that thing. This is where we at, you know. Hold up. I don't know who this is before we wrap it up. Got any questions or comments? You got like 4 minutes.
Hey, I like grace and peace. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Hey, that was a great precept, brother, you know, and great reading, Brother Absalom. I just pray to God that he continue to water us with knowledge and understanding. So that was a great lesson. We should be mindful of the things that are to come and will be. And grace and peace to the family, much love, and with that I close.
Amen. Amen. So also we want to be back here tomorrow morning for the Sunday morning fruits of the Spirit. We can get off into that, man. Oh my God, I just love that the fruits of the Spirit precept, right? So it's almost like we're dealing with the fallen spirit on Friday night, then we're dealing with this, and then we got the fruits of the Spirit. I like the way the Lord is working with us. Amen. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time, bro. I hope and pray that we edify somewhat, So, and as we say here, please read your Bibles.
Shabbat read your Bible. God's known. Have a blessed day.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shabbat Shalom, man. Love you. Good job.